I am so looking forward to the time when we can all meet together in our local congregations. I know that you guys are too, and that's right around the corner. So I'm really looking forward to that. Like many of you, I've been working from home the past couple of months now, and it's been a challenge, but I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to do so. And overall, it's been great for you guys out there that are working from home, and it's new to you as well. I just want you to know that my wife asked me the question in week 7. I made it to week 7 before this question came out. She said to me, "So, when do you think they'll be letting you go back to the office?" Now, I don't know what she meant by that. Maybe some of you got that question as well. Perhaps you could ask her about that. See why she said it. I'd like to start off this afternoon by reading a short story. This story is a short story that I read in Nashville a couple of years ago, and one that sets the tone for what I'd like to speak about this afternoon. The name of the story is Building Your House. Building Your House. The story goes like this. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer or contractor of his plans to leave the house building business, to live a more leisurely life with his wife, and enjoy his extended family. He would miss the paycheck each week, but he wanted to retire. They would get by. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but over time, it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end a dedicated career. When the carpenter finished his work, his employer came to inspect the house. Then he handed the front door key to the carpenter and said, "This is your house. It's my gift to you." The carpenter was shocked. What a shame. If he had only known he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. And so it is with us. We build our lives one day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building. Then with a shock, we realize that we have to live in the house we have built. If we could do it all over, we might do it much differently. But you cannot go back. You are the carpenter, and every day you hammer a nail, you place a board, or erect a wall. Someone once said life is a do-it-yourself project. Your attitude and the choices you make each day help to build the house you will live in tomorrow. So, build wisely. That's the end of the story. In the weeks after the days of unleavened bread, most of us have had some extra time to think about and consider what our focus should be as we continue on our spiritual journey. In just over a week, we'll celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And we will be reminded that part of God's plan of salvation was that he created his church and poured out his Holy Spirit to those in 31 AD and to all of those who have responded to their special calling ever since. Something that I've thought a lot about in the past few weeks is the effort that God has put into building his church. I've thought about what my contribution has been and should be. And am I living up to that responsibility? Our individual contributions as part of our spiritual house that God himself is building, we have to contribute to that. So it's important that you and I do our part. Each of us has a spiritual house to build. The attitudes and the choices that we make each day affect the construction of our spiritual house and will ultimately contribute to the finished product. Are we building wisely? Are we using the best materials and giving this project our very best effort? Will we have what it takes to continue strong until the end? Or will we lose heart? Will we lose interest along the way and do shoddy work towards the end? Will we abandon the project and pursue other interests? Sadly, I think all of us have known individuals that have been part of our church family that lost interest, stopped participating, went a different direction. When the contractor returns, will he be satisfied with the spiritual house that is presented to him? Will we look back wishing that we had done it all differently based on the reward that we receive? Yes, each of us has the responsibility to build our spiritual house. We, like the individual in the story, are the carpenters, and it is our responsibility to build our spiritual house properly, with the understanding that our individual house is part of a much larger project, the house that God is building for his entire family. Just as the contractor came back to inspect the house in the story, God will send Jesus Christ, and each of us will give an account as the house we have built is presented to him. So I'd like to spend some time today discussing this topic of building our spiritual house. If you like a title, that's the title I put on there, Building Your Spiritual House. The spiritual house we are building, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 for our first scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, it says this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Skipping down to verse 19. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Each of us belong to God. Our physical bodies belong to God. Our body serves as the temple for God's Holy Spirit, and the spiritual house that we are building with it, well, it belongs to God too. The term temple, referred to in verse 19, means a dwelling place or a shrine. Webster's College Dictionary has, as part of its definition, something held to contain a divine presence. The Clark Commentary says this about 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. It says, quote, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What an awesome saying this is. As truly as the living God dwelt in the Mosaic Tabernacle and in the Temple of Solomon, so truly does the Holy Spirit dwell in the souls of genuine Christians. It continues, and as the temple and all of its utensils were holy, separate from all common and profane uses, and dedicated alone to the service of God, so the bodies of genuine Christians are holy, and all their members should be employed in the service of God alone. And you are not your own. You have no right over yourselves to dispose either of your body or any of its members, as you may think proper or lawful. You are bound to God, and to him you are accountable. End of quote. While our physical life is temporary, the spiritual house that we are building will last for all eternity. I think understanding what we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is important to keep in mind as we go through this process of building our spiritual house. Since our spiritual house belongs to God, he is the master builder. He's the architect. We are to build according to his specifications. It says in Psalms 127 and verse 1 that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. To be successful, there are some things that we, the carpenters, need to keep in mind. We've already established that the spiritual house we are to build belongs to God, and he's the master builder. Many of you have been building your spiritual house for some time now. Perhaps some of you are just getting started or are planning to get started. So I hope the message today is a reminder to some and hopefully useful for those that are new to the process. To get started, we need the master of the house to provide us with a set of blueprints. We must have a plan, and we must follow the plan to ensure the house we are building meets the expectations of the owner, the master builder. The blueprints for building our spiritual house are revealed throughout the pages of the Bible. Studying God's word or reading the blueprints and putting them into practice are the building blocks for building a spiritual house. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. A very familiar scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is the blueprint or set of instructions that we are to follow to build our spiritual house. The Bible is the word of God and should be the main source for instruction for every step that we take. I'd like to use the balance of my time today and review six of those instructions from the blueprints that I believe are necessary to ensure that the spiritual house we are building will be a success. The first instruction from the blueprints is to count the cost and agree to the terms. Count the cost and agree to the terms. As part of the building process, we need to know what the cost is going to be. If you're baptized or are planning to be baptized soon, this is one of the topics that you covered or will cover as part of that process, to count the cost. We must gain a real understanding of what we are taking on and what it will take to finish before we commit ourselves to it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, we'll begin in verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." This term hate here means to love less. Will we put God, Christ, and his way of life above all other things around us, even above our own family and above ourselves? Verse 27 says, And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you intending to build a tower, or perhaps for today's purpose to build a spiritual house, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Skip down to verse 33. It says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Building our spiritual house requires us to be all in. We must commit to it and put it above all other things. You know, we're all familiar with the verse we find in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, which of course encourages us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is not something to take lightly. Counting the cost is so very important. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. A couple of pages back, Luke chapter 9. When Jesus was asked by some of his followers if they could go and handle some of the cares of life before they continued with him, he gave them and us through our reading a strong warning about counting the cost. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, it says, "But Jesus said to them, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" So we should count the cost and agree to the terms before construction of our spiritual house gets underway. The second instruction from the blueprints is that a down payment must be received. A down payment must be received. The down payment that is required is a portion of God's Holy Spirit. It is the only down payment that will be accepted, and it can only be obtained as a gift from the master builder himself. As part of God's plan for all of us, we must respond to an individual and personal calling from God. We must repent and be baptized and receive that portion of God's Holy Spirit, which is a down payment that leads to the finished product. Only God can give us a portion of his Holy Spirit, and he alone decides when that calling is to be made. In Acts chapter 2, we find an amazing event that took place on the day of Pentecost in 31 AD. We will no doubt hear more about this extraordinary event on its anniversary just 8 days from now. The gift of the Holy Spirit, this down payment, was offered to the church, the called out ones. The chapter starts out describing the sound of the Holy Spirit coming as a rushing wind. This must have been an amazing sight to witness firsthand. To build a spiritual house, the blueprints call for a portion of the Holy Spirit to be given to us and to dwell in us. It is the down payment for our future and a helper needed for our spiritual development. After Peter's sermon explaining what had just taken place and why, he was asked by the brethren what they should do. Let's pick up the story in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call.' And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who greatly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." You know, God has been given this down payment, this gift of his Holy Spirit, to all those that have responded to his call ever since. Those that have God's Spirit dwelling in them are expected to use it, expect to use it to build. With the Holy Spirit received as the down payment, this spiritual house, this project, really can start to begin. The third instruction from the blueprints that I have listed here is that it must be built on the right foundation. Like any building that is strong and built to last, it must be built on a solid foundation. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, begin in verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." It is clear from reading these messages how important the foundation is when building our spiritual house. We are to take heed and build on the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. We are to look to his sacrifice, his example, and his leadership. Our foundation for building godly character in our spiritual house is following Christ and yielding to his will over our own. As we discussed earlier, the Bible is the blueprint. It's a manual. It's the ultimate guide for success. The Bible contains the very words of the living God. We are to build layer by layer, brick by brick, on the words that God has given to us. This is what our spiritual house must be built on. Those that gladly received the word that Peter spoke to in 31 AD on the day of Pentecost understood the spiritual building process. What did they do? What did they focus on after they made their commitment to God and his way of life? Well, notice what Peter tells them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We read down to verse 41 just a moment ago. But these are examples of individuals working together as one body, one church, and it's recorded for us to learn from. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." The blueprints tell us to be steadfast and continue living as we are being taught with the clear expectation for continual improvement. What was the apostles' doctrine mentioned there? Well, they were teaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. They were teaching about the responsibility of the church to remain faithful, obedient, and continuously striving for spiritual perfection. And what was the result? We see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43. It says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all these things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." We should keep this example in mind as we strive to do our part in building our own spiritual house, and the spiritual house as a group, as a church. In Luke chapter 6, we're given another account of consequences of building wisely on the right foundation, and consequences of not building on the right foundation. Let's take a quick look at that. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" I like the way this verse gets right to the point. So many people build a life around acknowledging Christ. They say they believe in Christ, but their attitudes, behaviors, and actions are not consistent with his teachings. Building on the right foundation requires us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Continuing in Luke 6 and verse 47, it says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You know, in this account, a house was built on no foundation at all, and immediately, when hard times came, against it, it fell. Here again, we see that the development of our spiritual house must be built on the right foundation for it to remain standing and strong. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see that the master builder is building his household, the family of God, and we as members will be joined together with one great building or family constructed on the same solid foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a temple, into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." The master builder, the great architect, had a plan from the very beginning. His blueprints reveal that he is building a household, a family that will be joined together as one. The apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, is the only foundation suitable to build a house that will last for eternity. The fourth instruction from the blueprints is we need to gather the right tools and we need to know how to use them. We need to gather the right tools and know how to use them. Having the right tools for the job and knowing how to use them effectively is essential to building a quality spiritual house. Now, the tools that we have to gather are very familiar to us, but I think they're important enough to this building project to cover them very quickly. The first one is prayer. We have the incredible ability to speak to God directly. God wants to talk to us. He wants us to develop a relationship with him, and so does Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7, we're given the instruction to pray without ceasing. We need to be asking God to guide us through the process of building our spiritual house. We need his help to evaluate our progress and ensure that he is pleased with how we are doing. Are we on the right track? What can we improve on? What adjustments are needed? And what concerns do we have about our progress? These are all concerns that we can take to God and to Jesus Christ. We should ensure that we set aside time daily for direct communication with God and also with Christ. We should want to seek the guidance from the experts, the master builders. Another tool is, of course, Bible study. This is an incredible tool that allows us to hear from God and from Jesus Christ. As we all know, Bible study and prayer go hand in hand. Actually, all of these tools go together hand in hand. Quite often, as we seek guidance from God, our answer is revealed through a set of scriptures. Have you ever prayed about something and suddenly a scripture seems to pop up out of nowhere? Or perhaps something's been on your mind. Perhaps you're troubled by something and someone delivers a sermonette or split sermon or sermon. that really tackles that topic that you needed to hear. Mr. Meeker mentioned in one of his messages from the home office recently to consider using some of the many Bible dictionaries, commentaries, and other Bible helps that are readily available to complement our study of the Bible. Using a variety of these type of tools can help us dive deeper into Scripture and gain more from their meaning. Another tool is fasting. Now, I doubt many of us would consider fasting to be our favorite tool, but it can be useful and it should be used. We find many scriptures that show the power of fasting as a tool to develop a closer relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Isn't it true in your life, it's certainly true in mine, that when you feel like you're really close to God, things seem to work out for the best most of the time. When troubles do come our way, and they do from time to time, fasting pulls us closer to God. You might jot down chapter 9 of Daniel, if you're a note taker. Daniel earnestly needed God's help and deliverance, and it says in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9 that he set his face toward God to make his request by prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Drawing close to God and building a relationship that is developed through fasting, along with prayer and Bible study, are tools necessary to build our spiritual house. The final tool is, of course, meditation. We are encouraged to meditate on the things that matter, the things that are important. Meditation, like prayer, is a tool that should be also used consistently and constant. In the book of Joshua, we are instructed to meditate on God's law day and night. Quoting from the New King James Bible, it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So having the right tools and knowing how to use them is necessary for building our spiritual house. The fifth instruction from the blueprints is to use only quality materials. Use only quality materials. Only quality materials should be used from the beginning of construction till the finishing touches are added at the end. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." Continuing in verse 14, it says, "If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." The Matthew Henry's commentary describes these verses as two ways to build on the right foundation. One, with using quality materials, and the other, resorting to materials of considerably less quality. The commentary says this about this verse. It says, "Some build," this is the Matthew Henry's commentary, it says, "Some build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, namely those who receive and spread the pure truths of the gospel, who hold nothing but the truth as it is in Jesus, and preaching nothing else." Continues here in this commentary, "This is building well upon a good foundation. When ministers not only depend upon Christ as the great prophet of the church and take him for their guide and infallible teacher, but receive and spread the doctrines he taught in their purity without any corrupt mixtures, without adding or diminishing. Others build on wood, hay, and stubble. On this foundation, that is, They adhere to the foundation, but they depart from the mind of Christ in many particulars, substitute their own fancies and inventions in the room of his doctrines and institutions, and build upon the good foundation what will not abide the test when the day of trial shall come. And the fire must make it manifest, as wood, hay, and stubble will not bear the trial by fire, but must be consumed in it. End of quote. Paul encourages us to build with a proper foundation and use the highest quality materials. Gold, silver, precious stones, all of these are representatives of the complete truths of God and the spiritual values that are produced from living in obedience to God. Love, joy, peace, humility, patience, faith, integrity, wisdom, and obedience to God's law are just a few of the spiritual values that are representative of the quality building materials we should be using as we build our spiritual house. Using lesser grade materials is risky. It can lead to sufferings and will make the tests and trials that come our way much more difficult to withstand. We should use quality materials such as gold, silver, precious stones in the construction of our spiritual house. The sixth instruction from the blueprints is to simply never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. This build that we are building is like no other. Its completion cannot be finalized until the return of Jesus Christ. As part of the building process, we need to resolve to see the project through. We need to finish strong with the same commitment, zeal, and energy that helped us to get started. We need to finish our part in building our spiritual house with absolutely no regrets. We don't need to put ourselves in a position where we have to look back wishing that we had done it all so differently. For those of you that have been building your spiritual houses for a while now, you know that this building project is not easy. It takes a daily commitment to keep building regardless of the obstacles that seek to destroy the progress that we have made so far. But we cannot yield to setbacks, nor problems or trials that will continue to come. When you and I were counting the cost, God was counting the cost too. He only calls those that are ready and are able to fulfill his purpose for his reasons and on his timeline. He knew when it was the right time to be called. He knew when it was the right time to call us, rather. And he knew that when it was time to build our spiritual house, we would have what it would take to finish it. When we made our commitment to him, he made a commitment to us. Let's turn to a set of scriptures that are a major source of comfort and that should help us to never, ever give up. We find that in Philippians chapter 1. Turn there, if you will, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a great work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we resolve to never ever give up the good work of building our spiritual house, God has promised to complete the work that he began in us. The carpenter that we read about earlier, he agreed to build one final house, but soon lost interest. He began to give less than his very best. He didn't finish with the same zeal and dedication that was his reputation for many years. He was unaware that the house he was charged with building was to become his own house as the contractor's gift to him. Sadly, his gift came with regrets, leaving him wishing that he had done it all so differently. Each of us has a spiritual house to build. Our attitudes and the choices that we make each day affect how this house will turn out. This afternoon, we've been discussing the process of building our spiritual house, and we have reviewed some of the instructions and expectations that the master builder has given to us. The spiritual house that we are building does not belong to us. It belongs to God. We need to count the cost and accept the terms. We need to build on the right foundation. We need to gather the right tools and learn how to use them. We need to insist on using only quality materials from the beginning of the build until the finishing touches are put on at the end. And finally, we must resolve to never, ever give up. Just as the contractor came back to inspect the house that had been built by the carpenter in our story, God will send Jesus Christ back, and each of us will give an account as the house we have built is presented to him. God's gift to us is the key to the front door of the kingdom of God. Our reward is eternal life in the spiritual house of the master builder. We know this in advance. We know what our reward is going to be. Our Father in heaven and our elder brother Jesus Christ have really high expectations for us. They want us to build our spiritual house and become part of their family. So let's build wisely. The kingdom of God will be here before you know it.